I have always been small. As in short stature. You know, by this, you know, it wasn't as if I was normal size until I got to 10 or 12 and then I stopped growing. I was always just much smaller than everybody else of my age. So it's no surprise that when I first went to school in Jamaica, a year before I was supposed to, they didn't care about things like that in Jamaica in the 50s, I was this little thing that showed up school, and one girl apparently went home and told her mother, "We've got a doll coming to school." The reason that I had gone to school that early was I had said to my father that I wanted to learn the piano, and he said that he wouldn't teach me to play the piano until I could read. So I said, then send me to school. So he did. So you'd think that this early precocious child, this early development and this early schooling would have set me on the right track to brilliance, but it didn't. I was never an overachiever when it came to academics. I did okay, but I was never, you know, top of the class and Oxford and Cambridge and all that sort of stuff. I left that to my younger brother. I was just always average. My father died when I was 8, and we went back to England, and I immediately went into a boarding school. The first boarding school I went to was a preparatory boarding school to prepare me for the real boarding school. And I started the real boarding school when I was 9, and I stayed there until I was 18. Now, this school is called Christ Hospital because it was actually founded in London in 1552 by King Edward VI, the boy king, the son of Henry VIII. You all know him, right? The boy king died very young at about age 21, but not before he had founded in London St. Thomas's Hospital, several schools, and Christ's Hospital, which was supposed to be an orphanage, and they took in boys and girls. And, of course, that is before they invented schooling for women. So it was actually an orphanage to start with and then gradually became a school, and has maintained its charity focus right up till today, and that was definitely told to us many times a day that we were little charity cases. I went there obviously because my father had died. So you couldn't be too rich to get into the school, and you also had to sit an entrance exam that was quite difficult. So you couldn't be too rich or too stupid. But there are several books written about the school, and I happened to have one, and I was looking at it, and they had an example of the questions that they asked us at 8 years old in order to get into the school. It's a good thing they asked me then, because now I wouldn't know the answer. It's amazing what they were asking. But anyway, so I got into this boarding school, quite a prestigious boarding school. It is co-ed, but actually in 1665, you didn't know you were going to get a history lesson, did you? In 1665, when the Great Fire of London happened, the children were evacuated out of London to a place called Hartford. And then in years later, the girls always stayed in Hartford, and the boys moved. And when my younger brother went, they were actually 100 miles away. So we never had anything to do with the boys at all. In the 1980s, they actually moved the girls down to be with the boys. I missed out on co-ed boarding school. But so I went to this all-girls boarding school, 9 years old, and I showed up. And because it's a charity school, every single stitch of clothing was provided by the school, all the way down to our underwear. Although when we got older, we sometimes snuck in our own bra and panties. So I stand in line to get fitted for my school uniform. And as I walk up, the house mother, the house mistress, looks down. "Look what I've got here," she said. And I can remember it. No wonder I'm damaged. So I got fitted out for my school uniform, and thus began my 9 years of the boarding school. And I got a very good education, there's no doubt about that. But we were completely walled off from society. I mean, you know, you've all seen Harry Potter and some other, you know, things on TV and stuff about English boarding schools, and they're all true. The campus was in the middle of the town, but surrounded by a high wall. We couldn't really see anybody. 300 girls, all in there together. And I was very, very naughty for the first half of my schooling. Very, very naughty. In fact, my mother was called in and told, your daughter is a sheer nuisance. She will never amount to anything. The last half of my schooling, I managed to turn that around, actually, and became a monitor and all this sort of thing. And by the time I left at what you'd call graduation, I received the prize for being the girl who had benefited the school the most. I have no idea what I did. I wasn't particularly good at sports or anything else, but I think they just felt sorry for me because they'd said I was nothing but sheer nuisance value when I was 9 years old. But I was naughty. I mean, I was, but I like to do really unusual things. So I used to gather all the girls of my age, and we'd all go down behind the chapel, which was out of bounds, and I would arrange wrestling matches. And this was the one area where passers-by could actually see in, and so all these people in the town would be walking by and stopping to watch these 9, 10, 11-year-old girls wrestling. And it's so odd because today, I mean, it's ironic because today I'm like a pacifist and I hate wrestling and boxing and all those things. But I think I just did it just to do anything to be just really different and naughty. The school was, you know, being all girls, we didn't really know what boys looked like. The headmistress would not allow us to have friends older than ourselves or younger than ourselves. And I never really knew why, but in years later I was told it was because she thought we were all going to be lesbians if we had friends who were older and younger. This was the 50s. I guess they didn't know much then. But the only men we ever saw were the vicar and the doctor. It was a Church of England school, so it's chapel every day, twice on Sunday. And the vicar, he had a difficult task, you know. He had to preach these sermons that would somehow speak to everybody from age 9 to 18. And he did very odd things with his body, I remember, during these sermons. But, I mean, you know, when he would speak of, say, fornication, it wasn't high on my to-do list when I was 10 years old. So it didn't mean a whole lot to me, you know. And the other person was the doctor. And I think he was a bit of a perv, because he used to like to call us in and strip us down to our bra and pants so he could check us out for chicken pox, even when we'd already had it. Home bra and pants. Sorry, doctor. So I left that school barely knowing what a man looked like, but with a very good education. So whenever I hear that song from, is it Sound of Music? Utterly unprepared am I to face a world of men? That's me. So, thank you.